Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, Carmelo, for sharing your story with us. My name is Anthony. For those of you who don't know me, I just want to echo what Justin said. If this is your first time with us, welcome. We're so excited that you are here. Make yourself feel right at home. If you've been with us for a few weeks, you know that we're in the middle of a series called Win. And we decided that we were going to take a little bit of a break for the next 2 weeks to address something that's been on my heart recently. But don't think of this as a complete pause. It's going to tie in nicely to what Pastor Chris was walking through last week. But think of this more of a spin-off, if you will. This is the Frasier to the larger Cheers, okay? There's your 1992 reference for today. So we're in the middle of talking about this Win series, and Pastor Chris just beautifully kind of kept the conversation going last week. And one of the things that God likes to do in my life when he and I interact is he does what's called a nudge. And if you've talked with me or if you heard me speak before, you know that I think that God likes to communicate to me through nudges quite a bit. And a nudge is really just that. He just keeps bringing it back around until I address it, you know? Maybe you've experienced a kind of nudge in your life from God, too. Maybe it's about a group of people. Maybe it's a specific, organization. Maybe it's an individual person. But something just keeps getting nudged until you address it. And so I've been what's called Director of Outreach here at Hoboken Grace for the last 4 years. And what that means is that I'm overseeing the teams that we work together to send the message of Jesus Christ to our city and to impact it. And those are some teams that I'm sure some of you are familiar with. Simple Service, which is the granola bars at the PATH train or the collection tables. Maybe you've seen us outside Acme or ShopRite that collect for the local shelter, for the local food banks. Maybe you've seen us on the first Friday of every month where we partner with the shelter to serve and prepare the meal. It's also the team that helps to coordinate the bridge events like our Easter egg hunt and Christmas exchange and One Day. And all of these events are back to our mission, which is, as Justin said, helping people find their way back to God. But it's also about establishing a presence for God in this city. And I think about it in terms of my own story and how God brought me to where I am today. I never thought growing up that I would be in ministry. I didn't come to know Christ until I was in graduate school, and God really kind of used his nudges to me to push me into full-time ministry. Some of you know that prior to going into ministry, I was in the performing arts, and I got my master's degree in Shakespeare, which is why I'm now in full-time ministry. And I was doing, all right. I had a full-time teaching job. I was traveling. I was working. Everything was good. Much like Carmela was saying, I had a good plan. I was set out just fine. Like I was good. I was living in the city. I was working hard. I had a good plan. God introduced me to a woman named Dana, and I came over towards the keyboard to represent Dana. God introduced me to Dana, and after a little while of courtship, we would be engaged to be married, and ultimately it looked like I was going to lose the battle between New York and New Jersey and move out to Hoboken. And, you know, it's funny because after I moved to Hoboken and started attending Hoboken Grace with Dana, and I had been a part of a church in the city and I had been a leader over there, but here I was just kind of I was happy biding my time, you know. I was part of a setup team. I would do announcements and silence and, you know, speak every once in a while. I was good. I was happy. I had a good plan for my life, right? I was working in the city. I was traveling. I was booking gigs, and I was doing just fine, or so I thought. And then one Sunday, Pastor Chris cornered me and asked me if I ever thought of being a pastor. And I kind of had told him no, and then he said, "Well, I'm thinking of bringing you on staff." And I said, "Do I have a choice?" and thus would begin for about the next 6 months of God really nudging me into full-time ministry. And I was content. I was content to huddle up. I was content to bide my time. I was content to do my own thing. It was comfortable. It was easy for me to be able to do it that I had planned. But then I realized that even though my plan was a good plan, it wasn't necessarily the plan that God had for my life. And as I was working through this and as I was preparing for this, God brought this beautiful passage that I think couldn't illustrate it better in the book of Jeremiah. Now, the book of Jeremiah is found in the Old Testament. It's known as one of the books of the prophets, and it's always good, whether you're reading in the New Testament or the Old Testament, no matter what, when you're reading scripture, it's always good to also understand the historical background in the historical context in which it was written and to the people that it was written. And interestingly enough, during the time that Jeremiah is writing this, we're in extremely turbulent times, okay? I mean, there are tensions between different nations. People are divided. It's a time of dishonesty, injustice, slander against one another. You know, things that only happened back then, not today. And we pick up this story where the Israelites, all right, these are God's people, all right? These are God's people that he brought out of Egypt, that he delivered from Pharaoh. These are God's people. And he literally, they get exiled to Babylon, all right? And that word exile means they got sent forcefully. They got ripped out of their home and brought to Babylonia. And they're there. They never saw themselves in Babylon. It wasn't their home. They had been sent there. And so naturally, what do they want to do? They want to wait things out. They want to huddle up. They want to be together. They want to bide their time together. But then Jeremiah points out something very specific and something that God has called them to do while they're there in Babylon. And we pick up the story in Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. Where it says this, it says, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that they may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare. We're determined your welfare." So wait a minute. They're sent to a place that's not their home. They want to wait it out. Maybe if we can just huddle up, stay safe, wait this out. But God is saying, hold up. I sent you here. You're here for a reason. Wait a minute, God. You sent us here? Look what it says. It says, "This is what the Lord heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to the captives he has exiled to Babylon." And then later on in verse 7, it says, "And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you." He is saying, you have been sent to the city by God. The Israelites are in Babylon because God wants them there. And I think this is an interesting picture if we look at our own lives, if we look at the lives of those around us, but specifically where you are right now. Think of the city that you live in. Hoboken, Jersey City, Union City, Weehawken, wherever you are living right now, think of the different circumstances that brought you there. Maybe you got a job and that moved you there. Maybe you're like me and you got married and that moved you to where you are. Maybe you were born here. That's a circumstance of where you are. But interestingly enough, it says those are the circumstances that God used to bring you there. Those aren't the reasons. The circumstances that were for me to get to Hoboken was that I got married and Dana is right. So I moved to Hoboken. So that was the circumstance that brought me to Hoboken. Those are different. The circumstance that brought the Israelites to Babylon was that King Nebuchadnezzar forced them out of Jerusalem into the city of Babylon. They sent them there to exile. That is the circumstance, but not the reason. The reason that they are in Babylon is because God wanted them there. And the reason that you are in the city that you are right now. The city that you live, the city that you've been sent to, is because God wants you there. God's saying the same thing to the people today that he's saying to those Israelites. He's saying, whatever the circumstances might be that brought you to your city, what God wants you to do is to live to the fullness of those circumstances. And listen, I understand it's easy to want to ride our time out here, right? We live in a transient area of the country. When I was doing some research for this conversation, we found out that the average length that a person stays in Hoboken nowadays is between 2 and 5 years. So it's easy to think, yeah, I'm going to bide my time. I'll go to work. I'll come home. I'll wait until I'm supposed to be someplace else. And listen, I understand that. I was born and raised in Colorado, but at the age of 18, I left, and from about the age of 18 to 24, 25, I didn't live in the same place for more than a year. I know what it's like to be on the go. And some of us transfer jobs. Some of us graduate. Some of us move to another place or another. What God is saying, this is what you're supposed to do with the place that you are being sent to. This is what you're supposed to do to the place that I have brought you. And he's very specific about what we're supposed to do when we realize that we've been sent by him to a space. And he says it in verses 5 and 6. He says, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. He's saying, no. Don't bide your time. Be a presence. God is saying, establish your presence in the city. Make Babylon your home. These words, plant and build, it means you're going to be here for a little while. Whether it's 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, or 70 years like the Babylonians, you are here. We have brought you here for a purpose. Get comfortable and establish your presence. God is calling us to the same thing. He's saying, go out and show the people of Hoboken, Jersey City, Weehawken, Union City, that it's possible to live in these cities and follow God. And we've worked hard as a community here, as a family here at Hoboken Grace, to establish a presence of God here in this community. It's at the core of who we are. It's at the core of our mission. It's not just about in here of helping people find their way back to God. We want to be able to help people find their way back to God beyond these walls as well. And that's really at the core. In the outreach team meeting that I have every Tuesday nights, I ask them often what this question is that if Hoboken Grace closed our doors tomorrow, would the city know we were gone? Would the city know we were gone? In February, we will celebrate 10 years of God working, of God allowing us to partner with him in this city, of God allowing us to help him to establish a presence here in this city. And over 10 years, that's thousands of granola bars. That's thousands of items that we've collected at Acme and ShopRite for the food bank. That's thousands that we've impacted through the Easter egg hunt and through One Day and through the Hoboken Christmas Exchange. And it's about establishing a presence. This isn't something that's going to happen overnight, but it's about saying, no, we're not going to be comfortable just in here on Sunday mornings, but we're going to go out and we are going to establish a presence here in the city. It's about building that relationship. The perfect example is the story of how popcorn under Movies of the Stars came to be. Years ago, we came to the city because the city does these, really, if you haven't got a chance, every Wednesday night, they do some awesome movies over on Pier A. They're free. It's a gorgeous backdrop of the city, and they do movies every Wednesday night. And we thought, how cool would it be if we were just to go there, set up a couple of popcorn machines, and just give out free popcorn? We thought, that's a great idea. So a few years ago, we went to the city, and we're like, we got this great idea. We want to, at your Movies Under the Stars, no strings attached, we want to go, we want to set up a couple popcorn machines, and we want to give out free popcorn. And the city was like, no. Okay then. And so we kept going. We kept, you know, establishing a presence. We kept reaching out to people. We kept saying, okay, all right, well, maybe they just need to get to know us a little bit more. Okay, great. And the next year we came back and we said, hey, this movie Under the Stars things, we'd love to be able to give you free popcorn. And they were like, no. We're like, okay. And year after year, they just kept saying no. And then a couple of years ago, last year, I rolled up my sleeves, went up to them, and I said, okay, got a question for you. Movies Under the Stars, Wednesday nights. We would love to come and hand out free popcorn, no strings attached. And the city said, what a great idea! I can't believe we never thought of that before! But we had begun to gain their trust. We'd begun to establish a presence in this city. And last year we were able to bring just free popcorn, no strings attached. And people, I love people's reactions when they ask why free. And we just tell them, hey, we're here to love the city. And we give them a free bag of popcorn. And I'm like, that's awesome. And it has moved on. Our relationship has grown. This year we actually get to drive onto Pier A to unload. It is amazing to get to drive onto Pier A. I feel like a rock star. And then I was just driving by, people were like, it's the popcorn guy. I'm like, yeah! It's amazing. They've got a parking spot for us now. It's fantastic. But it's all about creating that presence. It's not like, as you could see, we couldn't just walk into the city and say we want to do this. They're like, no, we're not so sure about that. But as we started to establish a presence in this city, we were able to build relationships and we were able to build trust. There's a woman who's part of our family here at Hoboken Grace who began to dream with God about ways that she can help to, you know, bring the community together. And she saw some community divide and she's like, what can we do? I wonder if we could just sit down and do like a community dinner or hang out with one another. And she engaged with the housing authority. And believe it or not, for the last few months, on the second Monday of every month, we're at one of the community centers at the housing authority, the same housing authority that Carmelo in the story was talking about. And we're having what's called a community dinner. We're inviting residents of the housing authority. We're inviting residents of Hoboken. We're inviting residents. We're just inviting residents around the area to be a part of the community to share a meal. No strings attached. We just want to be a presence. We want to show God's love to everybody. We want to hang out. We want to enjoy one another's time. And this is a way for us to be able to continue. 5 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to do that. We hadn't established that trust. We hadn't established that presence. But we're able to do it because God continues to work through us for those who show up and say, I want to continue to be a presence in the city. So I ask people, if we were to close our doors tomorrow, would people notice? I ask the same question to you. If for some reason you were to leave the city that you are in right now, would the city notice? If you were to leave your neighborhood right now, would the neighborhood notice? If you were to leave your building right now, would your neighbors notice? And yes, your friends and your family, they would notice. Because why? Because you've established a presence with them. But he's calling us to something bigger here. He's saying that this is right. This, first and foremost, to level the playing field, you've all been called here for a reason. And God has placed you here for that reason. That's the number one thing he wants you to get to understand, that you have been here. So he's asking you, be present in this city, allowing God to work through you in this city so that if and when you leave, that God calls you to someplace else, that the city, that your location will feel it. He's saying that God brought you here and that he wants to work through you in this city, and what you need to do is to establish a presence. God wants the presence of his people in the city. You're in this city by God's design. And where are you going to go out and find God? Well, what does he say? Where God has called us. So you're not only that, you're able to find God in the city. This is where we will find him. He's telling us to become a presence. He's telling us to love our neighborhood. He's telling us to love our neighbors, celebrate with them, mourn with them, make an investment in your family for this city. That it's not just for people in full-time ministry. It's not just for people who have been called to be in full-time ministry. It's for everybody. There are people who are part of our family right now that understand this, that have learned this, that they have chosen that this is where God is calling them, that they've understood that this is where God is calling. So they are placing down roots to be able to reach people here. My wife and I talk about this all the time. Dana and I aren't from here originally. Like I said, I'm from Colorado. She's from Minnesota. We're used to open spaces. We like to frolic. You can't frolic here. But we are called to be here. We are called to be a part of this. We're beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know that this is where God wants us to be. But he says, listen, after you've established a presence, you need to take it a step further. Jeremiah says, listen, he tells us that in order to establish a presence for him and be a part of the community, the next thing you need to do, the next thing you need to take it to another level is found in verse 7. He says, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. He's calling us to pray for the city. And listen, at this point, the Israelites probably think he's nuts. Because he's like, wait a minute, the Babylonians and the Israelites, we're not exactly friends here. Why would I want them to thrive? Because here's what he's saying. If the city that you are in thrives, you're going to thrive. And it's interesting here, the word for peace, the word that he's talking about, this word for welfare, this word for peace is the Hebrew word that's called shalom. All right, and maybe you've heard this before. It's like the word aloha, has a bunch of different definitions. But this one says that the word shalom, when you pray for peace, when you pray for the welfare of the city, this is what you're praying for. You're praying for the contentment, for the fulfillment, for the unity, for the prosperity, and for a genuine commitment to each other's good. That's what you pray for. And that's what you pray for, this peace, that you are praying for the city, that this city will be full of contentment, fulfillment, unity, prosperity, and a genuine commitment. That we will all be and have a genuine commitment to each other's good. But now, the Lord's plan calls for people to endure this stay in Babylonia. He's saying, listen, whether you're here for 5 years or 10 years or 3 months, that you need to pray for wherever I have sent you. Pray that this city will prosper. Pray that God will thrive in this city. And it's interesting, every time you look throughout the scriptures, when it comes to that word flourishing, when it comes to a town or a group of people or a location that flourishes, it's all directly linked to a group of people that have gone out and literally have represented God. There has never once in the story of scripture in which a town has flourished because the people in it have huddled up and bided their time. And you have no idea the power of what God can do when his people are willing to just show up. That's half the battle, guys. If you want to learn how to establish, to be an established presence in this city, half the battle is just showing up. Go to a connection event. They're all listed on our Facebook page. Go to the 4th of July party. Show up. Show up to dinner group. That's easy. Just show up because you have no idea what God can do with that. One of my favorite stories is the story of Freddie. Freddie used to work at the Panera right over here on Washington Street. And on Tuesday mornings, there was a dinner group that met there every Tuesday morning. It was a bunch of guys hanging out, laughing, and then they were talking about the message, and Freddie was watching them week after week after week after week. And finally, Freddie walked up to them and was like, "What is this? What are you guys doing here?" And they were telling him, "Oh, we're a dinner group from Hoboken Grace, and this is a little bit of what we do." And he's like, "What's Hoboken Grace?" And he's like, "Oh, here." And they gave him a card because the next weekend happened to be Easter. And Freddie showed up. And Freddie heard for the first time that Jesus had died for his sins, that he could, you know, be a new creation when he walked into this relationship with Jesus, and that he learned about Jesus for the first time. And a couple weeks later, Freddie was baptized right here on the stage. Because you have no idea how God is working, even when you just show up. There is somebody that is on our staff. They first learned about God. They came. They were invited. There is somebody on our staff that came to church for the first time because they got a granola bar. There was a guy who was baptized, who brought a bottle of water, an empty bottle of water, just like a Poland Spring bottle. And after his baptism, he filled it up with the baptism water because he'd been given that water on the way to the PATH train. You have no idea what God can do when his people are willing to just show up for him. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand here. He's trying to get us to understand, don't bide your time. I brought you here for a purpose. So here's the three things we need to realize in order to understand if we're going to really live out what God has called us to do by bringing us here. Number one, beyond a shadow of doubt, you have to realize that you were brought to the city that you are in for a reason. Number two, you have to establish a presence. And number three, you have to pray for your city. And what does it mean to pray? What does it mean to pray for that peace, for that shalom, for that unity? What does it mean to pray for that? Look at this beautiful this prayer in Psalm 122. It says, pray for the peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. Pray for your people. Pray for your city, it says. Pray for the safety. It says, this is how you pray for the city. Justin talked about how on Thursdays, we are praying at 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. for space. We also get a chance to pray for our city, pray for the people in it. That is a great way to start to pray for our city. And all you have to do is show up. 7 a.m., 15 minutes. 8 p.m., 15 minutes. You can choose one or the other. And just show up and make that commitment that I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna show up to a connection event. I'm gonna show up to dinner group. I'm gonna just show up and allow God to work through me. And that's what it means to be praying. He's saying, listen, this is your home for now. Settle down. And be a part of where I've called you. He could have brought you anywhere. He could have had your job bring you anywhere. He could have had you born anywhere. You have an avid Colorado sports fan that lives in New Jersey. Why? Because God wants me here. When we ignore the place that we've sent, when we've ignored the city in which God has brought us, we're actually ignoring what God has called us to do. Whether we join him or not, God is working in this city, but God is saying, you know what? Work with me so that I can even reach more. And even if you're not on this walk yet, even if you're listening to me and maybe you were invited by a friend or you're not really sure how you feel about this whole God thing, or if you're listening on the podcast or watching on live stream right now and you're not really sure how you feel about this whole God thing, I want to encourage you to show up too. Come and see how God is working. Come to connection events. Come to a dinner group. Come to the 4th of July picnic. I play a mean game of cornhole. That's the hacky sack game. But come and check us out. See how God is working in the city. And listen, I understand. I understand why some of us decide to huddle up, to bide our time. I believe it's probably one of the same reasons the Israelites did it. They were fearful. They were scared. What are these Babylonians going to do? What are they going to say? What are they going to think? Listen, I know some of you get scared of thinking about handing out a granola bar at the PATH train. I understand that. Some of you have ignored me. Just walk right around me. But it's interesting here that God calls us out of that. He says, if you really want to see me, if you really want to be free, rather than huddling up and giving into the slavery that is that, the freedom is found in being a presence in his city. And interestingly enough, the name Jeremiah means freed by God. And so, in order to find that freedom in order to find God in the community. He's asking us to partner with him to continue to establish a presence here. And here's the thing. We don't do these things for our own glory. We don't do these things for Hoboken Grace's glory. And if we are, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. We do this to go out in the city to point others towards God and who he is. Jesus put it beautifully when he was in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, listen, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So when we go out into the community, when we establish a presence, when we pray for our city, we're bringing glory to the one who's given everything for us. This isn't about works. You're not going to find salvation through works. Salvation is found in only your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But this is about being overwhelmed so much about what God has done for us that we cannot wait to get out into our city and tell others and show others what he has done in our life. In just a little under 12 hours, I'm going to be on a plane to Korea leading the missions team out there. And the word missions is actually a Latin word that means sending. When we are sent to a place, we are being sent as a representative of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' mission to the cities he visited is the same mission we have here to the cities he's placed us in. You'll hear it in our core. You'll hear it in next. Because it's at the core of who we are. In fact, a matter, this verse is where we get our mission of helping people find their way back to God from. It's found in Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, guess what? All nations includes your city. And yeah, I can go be a missionary in South Korea, but you can be called to be a missionary right here where you are right now, because we need to all realize that God has called us here for a reason. Get into the city that you are. Be a believing family. Be a good neighbor. It's not just for State Farm. And if you're an owner, be a good owner. Be a good landlord. If you're a renter, be a good renter. This is a way that you can point somebody. You never know how you can point somebody to understand who God is in their life. Pastor Chris used to talk about when they started this church, there was five of them that planted this church almost 10 years ago. And he used to say, what could five people do? What could five people do if they were completely sold out to God? What could God do with five people who were completely sold out to him? And now, almost 10 years later, we're a family of 1,000. I'm going to ask you all the same question right now. What could God do with 1,000 people who are completely sold out to him? What could God do with 1,000 people in this city, in this community, with 1,000 people who are sold out to him? You have been placed here for a purpose. It's not by chance. It's not by chance that some were born, and it's not by chance that some were brought. We can find joy in serving him. We can see him start to change things. And guess what? He's going to use you. If you step out in faith, he's going to use you. He's already using you, and he can use you. So let's partner with him and see what only he can do. Will you pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you for the truth that we find in your scriptures. It's just so rich and so deep and so full of truth for us. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to really internalize this. to help us to realize that you have called us here for a purpose, to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your mouthpiece to the people here, to establish your presence here in this city, in the cities that we're at, in the cities that we live. Father, alone we can't do anything, but with you working through us, the sky's the limit. Father, my prayer is also for those here who may not understand you yet, who may not have a relationship with you yet, who may not have in this all, may not trust you yet. My prayer for you is, number one, that they realize that it is no mistake that they are hearing this right now. And number two, that they realize that they themselves are not a mistake. And number three, that they can also be used to change the world. And my prayer is also for those who are on this journey with you, God, who have been walking with you, who have established a relationship with you, that may not think they're being used. My prayer is that you will give them the strength, that you will give them the courage, that you will nudge them in the direction that they need in order to use them even more for your glory. Father, all this is not possible without you. And so we invite you wholeheartedly. We celebrate the fact that we can be in this mission with you. We are honored to be in this mission with you of helping people find their way back to you. And my prayer is that each and every person will hear that and will know that they are part of this mission as well. It's the mission of Jesus Christ who you sent. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.